From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome to the News OK Pet Show. I'm Carrie Coppernall.
And I'm Brian Dean.
And we're joined today by filmmaker Jerilyn Pezanowski. Thank you, Jerilyn, for joining us by phone.
Thanks for having me.
We are going to talk to Jerilyn today about her documentary, Mine, which is going to air on PBS as part of the Independent Lens series. Jerilyn, tell us about what Mine is about and how you decided to make this film.
Okay, so I'll start first with how I decided to make it. I think, like a lot of people, I saw what was happening in Katrina and was pretty appalled. Mm-hmm. And seeing what was happening to the people sort of gave way once people were finally rescued to being really appalled that all of these animals were left behind and just seeing the really terrible conditions and that they were really helpless in this empty city. So I knew I wanted to do something, and I saw this rescue effort that was happening, and I was mm-hmm. really moved by all of these people that were heading into this toxic city as everyone else was hightailing it out of there, and
right.
and what was it that was compelling people to go there, and it was really the same thing that compelled me to go there and document this rescue effort that was happening. And so the film starts with the rescue and then sort of evolves into following the stories of the pets and the people, both rescuers and people who were forced to leave their pets behind, as they all sort of try to make sense of it in the aftermath, and obviously, as seeing it, it led to a lot of custody battles and really a long, drawn-out affair in terms of resolving these conflicts.
Well, tell us about, are you an animal person? There's so many angles and ways to cover Katrina. I mean, it's such a mammoth, point in history. What particularly drew you to the animals?
Yeah, so I'm an animal person. I didn't think I was this much of an animal person that I would spend almost 5 years of my life working
right.
Solely on this. But I definitely, I knew I wanted to do something, and I think for me the way the animal part of it really made sense was at the time that I could go down, that is what was happening. Mm-hmm. The people were gone, and this animal rescue was happening. And I think I both was called to do it just from the sheer helplessness of the animals mm-hmm. that I saw, but also understanding that it was totally interrelated to what was happening to the people. Like,
right.
these weren't, this wasn't happening in a vacuum. These animals belong to people
right.
and were members of people's families, and so I really saw it as part and parcel.
Was it ever overwhelming? I mean, I would want at some point to just say, all right, every dog in sight, get in my car, we're all going home, I'm going to cuddle you now.
Oh yeah, I can't tell you how many shots I quote ruined by getting in front of the camera myself, because it was just really hard because the immediate need was so strong
mm-hmm.
and so urgent.
Yeah.
And you really felt that. I really felt that being there. And there were many times where I thought, what am I doing with this camera when they need hands, when they
yeah.
need every set of hands rescuing animals? So, often I sort of forgot about the filming and went to help rescue animals. But I think overall, just sort of for the long term, I had to sort of just really hold on to the idea that eventually there was something that I could do that could contribute in another way.
Right.
One of the things I've noticed with people who get involved with animal rescue, and I include myself in this, I have a rescue dog, is that it seems like the problem is so large at times that it seems overwhelming. I mean, no matter what you're doing, even if you're helping, you feel like, I can't do enough. Did you feel like this changed you at all personally? Did you feel overwhelmed when you went home just at seeing the scale of the problem and feeling like you could, nobody could ever really do enough to really fix it and keep these animals safe?
Absolutely. I think it's very overwhelming. And the more you know about it, the more overwhelming it is. And you realize what a little role you can have in it. And I think
mm-hmm.
I just really, throughout these last 4.5 years, I've just really sort of kept coming back to just being able to tell the story that I saw and not trying mm-hmm. to do it all and not trying to make the definitive story on animal rescue or mm-hmm. Katrina. And, you know, a lot of great films have been made about the rescue, and I just see mine as another piece in it that hopefully adds to the overall good. And I think that's all any of us can do. And to be honest, that was one of the things that really moved me and really helped sort of give me the strength and the motivation mm-hmm. throughout the process, was seeing what a difference individuals made in going down yeah. and responding to Katrina. And of course you had your larger organizations there who were all doing a part of it, but what I was really moved by were all of the individuals who just left their jobs, left their families,
yeah.
went down, not many of them not even having rescued animals before, you know.
Yeah.
One of the rescuers in the film says, you know, I hadn't even rescued a goldfish in my life before, you know. And so to go down and see all of these people making a huge difference and seeing literally that their efforts led to thousands of animals being saved, was really moving to me and motivated me and inspired me that I could do one piece of mm-hmm. it and that I could have an impact.
What, I guess as our last question, what do you want viewers to take away, or is this a call to action? Do you want something to come of your documentary?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I think it's complex because there's the film covers so many different things,
right.
And I think maybe the main thing for me is just like compassion, mm-hmm. and I think that's one of the main messages of the film, and whether it's towards animals, towards people, towards, you know, understanding and being empathetic to
yeah.
people who don't share your same life experience. I think, like, that's a really important part of it to me. But I think there's so many pieces of it. I mean, I'd love to see, you know, and I think we're heading in this direction, more and more people acknowledging that, you know, it's not adequate that our pets are considered property.
Right.
And they need special protections, and they do have them to some degree, but, you know, we'll go a long way when people are actually allowed to evacuate with their animals, and
right.
I think it's definitely heading in that direction. But I just think overall, I just hope it's it helps people sort of have a better understanding of what happened and what mm-hmm. can happen, and that people watch it and, you know, whether it's just preparing on an individual level and not letting mm-hmm. this ever happen to themselves and their pets, or you know, just being more understanding of the plight of other
yeah.
people. There's many things.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a very important subject to me, and I hope that people come out of it feeling that they've sort of grown in some way.
Well, thank you so much, Geralyn, for taking the time to talk to us, and congratulations on your film.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, I'm a big Independent Lens fan, and this is gonna make me cry. I just want everybody to know that I've had a copy of this that I was going to watch, and I can't bring myself to do it. Because it's going to make me cry.
Well, give it to me. I'll watch it. And
okay.
I'll tell you if it's too bad. I'm sure it will be.
I just makes me want to cry just thinking about watching it.
I bet you can't watch Animal Cops on Animal Planet either.
I can't.
I can't either. It's too.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the copy. But no, it debuts next week. And we'll post reminders on our blog. But I'm going to cry my face off. I'm just saying right now. I'm going to cry my face off.
Well, I'll try to help you smile, maybe, with my first story here.
Good.
Actually, with both of these stories. You'll
no
like both
snakes,
of these.
Please,
no snakes,
please, and thanks.
It's all dogs and cats today.
Hooray!
This first one, it sounds like a cartoon. I honestly have a hard time believing this, but this comes to us from Lake Worth, Florida,
uh-huh.
where a family's golden retriever
uh-huh.
is being called a hero. Bubba the retriever started barking when a fire started inside this duplex. And the family lured the family. They got up and they got everybody out and got everybody safe.
Yes.
The mitigating factor here is that the cat started the fire.
What?
The cat knocked over a candle and started the fire. And then the dog saved the family. So does that not sound like a Looney Tunes episode?
That's awesome. The dog's like, you're welcome. Oh, God.
It sounds like a Tom and Jerry episode or something. I'm just surprised the cat didn't try to blame the dog somehow.
I know.
And then Jerry the mouse,
it
totally exposed him. Moving on, we need to talk about Puppy Bowl 6.
Dun, dun, dun.
I did not watch all of it, but I watched about probably three quarters of it.
I watched it a bit.
It just makes me smile, I have to say. I don't know how much you watch, but I wanted to talk a little bit about our MVP, and then I wanted to go over a couple of my personal wild cards here.
Who is the MVP?
The MVP was Jake. Jake was a Chihuahua pug mix. Now, did you see Jake at all?
Yeah.
He was a bottle of energy. You can't deny that. He just came out there running all around there was and another whipping one everybody
that
up.
I wouldn't have chosen, but.
Well, we'll discuss that in a moment.
He's sort of weird looking.
Jake, he's cute. He's like he's got that sort of dark brown Chihuahua, but then he has the pug face with
he
the black.
He kind of looks like Yoda, I'm not going to lie.
I thought he was pretty cute. He is a Jake is a half Chihuahua, half pug.
Half
how old
Yoda.
Was he? I forgot how old he was here. Doesn't
However
say.
Old Yoda is.
12. No, that's not right. Anyway, he's a puppy. They're all puppies.
Right.
My other personal favorites.
Hence Puppy Bowl.
Were Duncan the Beagle, 12 weeks old. He scored a touchdown. I saw him score a touchdown. He was very cute. And then I really liked Inu.
Oh, God. Someone adopt that dog.
Golden Retriever, that Rottweiler mix. It's like yellowish.
Someone.
Super cute. He was. He kept drinking, and everybody was trying to tackle him, and there was lots of big moments with
Inu.
I
have to say that my favorite moments in Puppy Bowl is whenever the ref would take a break. The Kit Kat break, which I understand they're going to do for advertising, but like he was in the locker room, quotes, I'm making air quotes right now, in the locker room, like sweating and like I'm so exhausted from all the cuteness. It's pretty ridiculous.
And they keep adding stuff every year. I mean,
oh my God,
the kitty halftime show is not new,
the
but it's still hilarious.
Blimp,
but yes,
I did not know that there was a hamster blimp. I laughed and laughed and laughed
every time. I kept laughing when they would show the bunny cheerleaders because they'd be like, and the bunny cheerleaders are going wild. They're just standing there, staring at the camera, not moving their faces.
We've discussed on this show that rabbits are jerks. we've discussed it before. Rabbits are jerks. They're not going to light your house on fire like your evil cat, but they're jerks. But the hamster blimp was a riot.
Cause it's like, was they kept walking back and forth, and they had all these switches that somebody glued in there.
I know.
That obviously didn't work or do anything because it's like a green screen, but they just had these ridiculous switches, and I kept thinking, I wonder if one of the hamsters will accidentally hit a switch. It would be so funny.
I could not get over the hamster blimp. Every time they showed it, because like all those little switches made it look so serious in there. Like oh, Lordy.
Partly the same reason I love the kitty halftime show, because they have all these kittens, and really it's just these kittens with this like big jungle gym, and they have all these little feathers and stuff that they're playing with, but they have like disco ball going with all these little spotlights going everywhere, and it totally makes it seem it's so preposterous.
I know,
why it's lovely.
Oh my gosh, my favorite was the exhausted referee and the hamster blimp.
I would pay to be the referee for the puppy bowl.
I
puppy foul. Unnecessary roughness.
Unnecessary cuteness. All right. Well, Puppy Bowl 6, a triumph.
And you can check out, by the way, the highlights on Animal Planet's website.
Yes.
Animalplanet.com. They've got highlights, and you can pretty much watch the whole thing on there. So I highly recommend it. Because
it's all a highlight.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian, for that delightful news. And thank you again to Geraldine Pizanowski for talking to us about her excellent film. Can't wait to see it and cry my face off. And thank you all for listening. Everyone go out and take care of your pets.